I sure appreciate all those specials. I have thoroughly enjoyed being here in the meeting. And as I have listened to the messages and the songs, it's fed my soul. And as I listened to the songs tonight, I couldn't help but be struck by the fact that most all of them touch on troubles, trials, storms, and that the answer to that is Christ. And you know, dear ones, that's the message that the Lord has tried to convey to souls from the very beginning. And as I listened to that, and I thought, you know, you've already heard several messages tonight in all of these songs. And the world, if they could just get a hold of what God has in all of this, it could relieve all of the heartaches and troubles that are in our world today. And so I thank the Lord for the message in each of these songs. And I guess I was supposed to tell you, I'm Curtis Williams from Sepulpa. Sorry about that. But I'm grateful for the Lord's dealings and how that He works. And I just want to say I appreciate very much the Spirit of the Lord that I felt in the meeting. And I thank the Lord for even this, as hot as it's been this week, the Lord has made it comfortable for us. And I feel like we owe a debt of gratitude to the Lord, and I thank Him for that. I would have much preferred to sit and feed as I have this week. But as I listened to a song the other night, Darlene, I don't know if she's here, when she wanted to sing her song, The Lighthouse, it reminded me of a picture that I have at home on the wall. I first saw that picture in Oregon when we were out there for a meeting. And it's a huge rock lighthouse in the midst of a boiling sea. And I loved it so well, my wife got me one, and it's on my study wall. And I look at it, and the Lord reminds me of the message in that song, in that picture. But this lighthouse, it was there in the midst of all this sea that was just, it was just boiling. And at the base of this lighthouse, just above the water level, was a walkway that went all the way around it. You perhaps have seen that. And there's a single pipe handrail that went all the way around that. The door into the lighthouse was recessed back in, and it was, the door was closed. But outside, standing there on the sidewalk, looking out at all of the waves that were just roiling around that lighthouse, was a man standing there watching that. But the thing that struck me so much about that picture was, as I looked at that, the painter had painted and there was a huge wave that was breaking around the backside of that lighthouse. And as the water was, you could just see it, it was just coming around. It was much higher than this man was. And I knew that in real life, it was just split seconds before that water would just come roaring around there with such force it would pick him up and toss him way out into that boiling sea. The pressure from that would be too great for him to even, if he could get a hold of that handrail, it'd probably be too great for him to be able to do it. Well, as I looked at that when I was out there and then now in my study, and I see that, the thing that really strikes me is, that man has no idea what's about to hit him. And the next thought that comes to my mind is, he needs somebody to warn him. And you know, that's what the Lord spoke to me the other night when they were singing that. That's your job. It's not just mine. It's all these ministers, and that's what they've been doing here. But the Lord let me know, that's what I want you to do, is to be able to give the warning. And dear ones, my burden tonight is, it's in two parts. One is to warn us of what the devil is doing to come to destroy us and to help us understand, if we're in a place where we don't realize what's going to happen, that the Lord would expose that and help us to see that. But the other thing is that the Lord would help us to recognize, through all the things that He is permitting to happen in our nation and our world, that there are valuable lessons that He wants us to get. And so I would like to ask us a question tonight that I would like for you to consider, and that is, how secure is your spiritual foundation? I've shared some of these things with the folks at home, but as we've already heard in this meeting, dear ones, time is short. And the warning that the Lord is sending out is not just for this group of people here. It's for everyone around the globe. I believe the Lord is doing everything He can to save souls and to awaken them before it's too late. I also believe that the enemy is doing everything he can to destroy every soul that he can. But dear ones, the Lord, in His great love and wisdom and His mercy, is allowing some things to happen in our nation and our world that He wants us to be able to get a hold of. And I think about all the things that have happened just in the last few years. I believe that God has permitted those things to come to pass. And the reason I say He's permitted them, dear ones, is because regardless of how powerful people are, regardless of how powerful pandemics are, regardless of how powerful political parties or powers are in our world, they are still subject to our Heavenly Father's control. And just like when Satan came in Job's time, God put limits on Satan and He said, you can come this far and no farther. Dear ones, I am firmly convinced tonight that God has put limits on Satan and he has only been able to come. You say, Brother Curtis, all these things are happening. But dear ones, I believe God has set His limits on Satan, because if He didn't, every one of us would be destroyed. Because that's His goal. But I also believe, dear ones, that when God permits things to happen, regardless of how awful they are, when He permits it to happen, there are valuable lessons that God wants you and I to get from that. And so I believe the Lord wants to speak to us through some of the things that He has permitted to come to pass in our nation. As I was meditating on these thoughts, the Lord reminded me of a message that He gave us here a few years ago. I believe it was over in the old tabernacle, about a tsunami that was coming on our land, and how that every one of us needed to be to get to higher ground, spiritually speaking, in order not to be overwhelmed by it. I don't intend to go through all of that, but there's a couple things that I want to mention, because I believe the Lord wants to teach us some lessons. One of the things that I saw, and I realize it's getting late, so you bear with me. I just got up here, remember this. So, one of the things that I saw when I was watching that was when that tsunami came in, you think of a big wave that is just like I mentioned with that lighthouse, and then it's there to just, it just comes in overwhelming, and it does with tsunamis. But dear ones, what I noticed in that one was that it drove water a long way ahead of it. And it wasn't just the initial wave that hit that did all the destruction, but as it pushed that water, you begin to see the land begin to flood, just like you would in a flash flood, but instead of it coming from the skies, it was coming from the sea. And as it began to come, and it would come, and as the tide would change, and it would come and go, and I began to watch that, and the water began to spread out. They had, I guess it was security cameras, and they filmed all this. And I watched that water as it began to spread out. And as I was looking, people were going about their lives just like we do today. They were driving, they were walking, there were things out there. And I watched in this particular one scene that I saw, there was a truck driver, and he was driving this 18-wheeler, and he was driving along, and as this water began to cover the road, he was driving through it, and the road came, and it went up on a hill and back down. And he pulled up, and I saw him in that video. He pulled up, and he started down, and he saw the water, and he just backed up, and he parked. And I'm sure he thought, this is a safe place. I don't know what's going on out there, but this is a safe place. A little farther down into the town, or the city there, there was a bridge that went up over the river. And again, the same thing. People were driving around and walking, and as this tsunami was pushing this water in, it was also pushing the rivers that went out to the ocean were getting backed up, and they began to overflow their banks. And as that happened on this river, and the people that were down there, and you could see them, they were driving and running up onto that bridge. And again, I'm sure they thought, this is a safe place. I'm up out of that. I mean, I'm not in that low place where a lot of people were and were being washed away. And I could see them looking and pointing and all watching all this happening. And I'm sure they were probably thinking, look at that. I'm so glad I'm not in their place where those people were being swept away. But you know, it wasn't very long before they realized that they were trapped and there was no way to escape. While they were above the water at that time, as the tsunami kept coming in and it kept washing in and the water began to rise, that trucker on the hill and those people on that bridge had no place to go. You have to go back down to get back up to the mountain where it was safe. And so, best I recall, what happened there was it just continued to come in until it swept them away. Well, I mention that tonight, dear ones, because I'm concerned that there are a lot of people in our nation and our world that's going to find themselves in this kind of condition. Many people are going to find themselves carried away by something and overwhelmed by something that's going to destroy them. Some because they're in a low place spiritually. They have rejected God. They've turned their backs on God. And they've done what the prophet Isaiah said. I want to turn over there and read this. In Isaiah, the 28th chapter, the 14th verse, Isaiah 28 and 14, he said, "Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death and with hell, and we are at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves." Do you know, dear ones, I'm afraid that there are many people today that have taken refuge in the lies of Satan. You're not going to surely die, just like he told Adam and Eve. It's okay. You were baptized. You were saved as a child. And you're going to be okay. And everything's fine. And so they go on. And then they're tempted to do this and that. And Satan just says, you know, the popular saying is, just do it. It doesn't matter. Just do it. No fear. Just live for today. Do you know, those are some of the lies that Satan is convincing people. He's also taking, and some of them, he's caused things to happen in their lives that are hurts and deep wounds. And so they've rejected God and they don't want anything to do with God. And so they have taken and said things like, I'm sure you've heard this, that religion stuff, that God stuff, that's just for weak-minded people that are not educated. Do you know what the prophet Isaiah said about that? He called them scornful people. Dear ones, I'm afraid this evening that there's a lot of people in our world today that have allowed things to happen in their lives that have caused them to turn their backs on God, and they no longer want anything to do with God with Christianity because it condemns their lifestyles. There are still some that still have a desire. They believe in God, but they just, I don't want to really go that way. And so they've twisted the scriptures to justify their actions and their lifestyles. And you know what the writer here in Isaiah said? He said they have hid themselves under falsehoods. Do you know, dear ones, one of these days, what I'm afraid of is going to happen is this overflowing scourge is going to come in their life. And they're going to find that it was all lies. It was all falsehoods. But it's going to be too late. And like those people on the bridge and on that little hill, they're going to realize too late that there's no hope and there's no way of escape. Because that's what happens. And my burden this evening, part of it is for those that have allowed the enemy to cause them to become disenchanted with the things of God, to turn their backs on God, and to just say, I'm through with all of that. My burden is, dear ones, that if you're here or there's anyone online in that condition, that somehow that God would speak to you as you listen to this message, that God would somehow reveal to you what the enemy is trying to do in your life, and that you will recognize your need of God. Because as the prophet Isaiah went on in the 17th verse, he said, "Judgment also will lay to the line and righteousness to the plummet. And the hell shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. Dear ones, you don't want to be in a low place spiritually when this time happens. And I'm not just talking about the end of time. I know we've already heard in the meeting that time is short, and it is. Since Brother Michael preached that message the other night, there's already been multitudes of people that their time has ended and they've already gone out into eternity. Some ready and some not. In fact, that very next morning after he preached the message, I got a call about 5:30 in the morning. A lady in Tulsa was out with her friends, and she was out at night, and I don't know what all they were doing. I don't really understand all that happened. But somehow in the process of all of that, gunshots rang out, and she took a bullet to the head, and her time was very short. She lived very short amount of time, and she went out into eternity. Dear ones, my burden tonight is if anybody is in that condition, that you recognize that the enemy of your soul is doing everything he can to destroy you. I'm very, very concerned about the things that the enemy is doing to cause souls that have turned their backs on God to blind them and keep them from recognizing the danger that is headed their way. But dear ones, I'm also concerned tonight about those that feel like they've found a place of refuge. A little hill, if you will, or a little bridge. And they feel like I'm okay. I'm secure in my relationship with God. And they have perhaps looked out from their place of vantage, and they're looking and they're seeing the awful wickedness that's going on in our world. And as they're seeing all these things happening, perhaps they're even saying, I'm sure glad I'm not in their condition. But yet they fail to recognize their own danger that they're in. There is something about a false sense of security that the enemy uses. Wednesday night, just before the meeting, there at home, after prayer service, I was out and I was watering the flowers and the shrubs in front of the chapel. Everyone else had gone and there was no one there, so I thought, until I heard a voice, a man's voice directly behind me. And I'll admit to you, it startled me, and I spun around. And there stood a young man, 30 years old, and he asked me, he said, do you have a bottle of water that I can have? He said, I just got out of jail up the road, and he said, I've walked this far, and I'm very thirsty. I didn't know, he could have stabbed me there if he'd wanted to. I'd never known. I was with the water, I couldn't hear him. And so I said, well, I might have one in the truck. I don't know. I'll go look and see, but it's probably not going to be cold. He said, that's okay. So I went to the truck and looked, and I had some empty bottles, but no full ones. And so I got one of them, and I came back, and I told him, I said, well, I'm sorry. All I've got is empty bottles. I'll wash it out and fill it up if you'd like. He said, that'll be fine. And that's what I did, and I think I filled it up 3 times while we were standing there talking. He was trying to get into Tulsa. He was a homeless man from California, and he'd been living there, and he had a tent. And it was getting towards dusk, and he said he was wanting to know how to get back to Tulsa. And how far it was, and I was telling him, and he finally said, it's getting dark. He said, can you take me? Can you take me into such and such a place? Well, while I was talking to him, I was looking him over, and I saw he had something bulging in his pocket. I didn't know if it was a gun or a knife or what it was. And so I said, well, I'm supposed to be meeting my wife. Let me call her and tell her, and then I'll let you know. So I called her, and Marvin was there where she was at. He said, I'll come down and go with you. So he came down, and we took the man, and as we were driving him to the place that he was at, I was asking him different questions and about his life and all, and I finally began to talk to him. He'd been in prison when he was younger, and he just got out of jail. And I told him, I said, you know, I don't know what your beliefs are, but I began to talk to him about the importance of giving his heart to God, because it can make a total change in your life. And you know, dear ones, it was his answer that struck me. He said, I've already done that. I've done that. That's how he said it. Now, he had just finished telling me about being in prison and about some of the things that he'd done, but he said, nothing really bad. I've already done that. And it reminded me of a scripture over in Proverbs, the 21st chapter. Proverbs, the 21st chapter, in the second verse, the scripture says, every way of a man, no, it said, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Do you know, dear ones, I believe with all my heart that the reason that the Lord has been permitting some of the things that he has permitted to happen in our nation and our world is because he sees the false sense of security that many are feeling in our world. And he is doing everything within his power to awaken them of their need of God, to awaken them of the tactics that the enemy is using to destroy their souls. And so I believe that God is trying to help them to recognize this. Do you know, dear ones, there are lots of little hills and bridges out there, if you will, places of refuge that people are taking refuge in. You know, there are churches of every denomination that teaches almost anything you want to believe that will justify whatever you want to do. And there are a lot of people that are taking refuge in that. There's philosophies, there's ideas and opinions of men that many are taking refuge in. But dear ones, one of these days, this overflowing scourge that we have been talking about is going to attack them. It may not be the end of time. It may be that as well. But there's going to be an overflowing scourge that is going to be directed at every one of us. And the enemy's intent is to try to destroy us. And my burden this evening is I'm concerned about how secure their foundation is. When you look up the word foundation in the scriptures, it says a basis, as a tenet, a principle, or an axiom upon which something stands or is supported, an underlying base and support. Now, I think most of us here this evening understand the importance of having a strong foundation. We heard this morning about the rock and the importance of that, and I thought Brother Carl was going to read these scriptures. And if he would have, it would have saved me of reading them to you tonight. But I want us to get a hold of something. Dear ones, it doesn't matter how well a house or a building is built. If it is not founded on a solid foundation, it is not going to stand. And it's the same way spiritually. You can take and you can build a church, you can build a congregation, you can build a reputation. And it may look ever so beautiful and strong, but if it's not built on a solid foundation, dear ones, it's going to crumble eventually. You know what happens when a house is not on a solid foundation or a building? You begin to see cracks begin to appear. Things separate. As our society, as the earth, as you would have it, as that foundation that you're built on begins to shift, as society changes, do you know what happens? If you're not on that rock that we heard about, if you're not on that solid foundation, you're going to see divisions begin to happen. You're going to begin to see people separate. Cracks begin to appear in things that once looked so beautiful. We heard about the beautiful vision of the church. I'm going to tell you that only happens on the solid rock. It won't happen on false religion or anything else. It only happens on the solid rock. And dear ones, when you build on something that's not on that solid rock, you're going to begin to see doors begin to stick. You know what I'm talking about? And when that building begins to settle, the doors stick. Things don't open or work like they did once did. Prayers aren't answered and people begin to say, this ain't working. Let's try something else. You begin to see walls settling. Things don't align like they did before. Those convictions that once you had that aligned perfectly with the Word of God, now they just don't make sense. You see, because society has changed and things have happened and all of a sudden you're like it and say, this just don't make sense anymore. It don't line up. The way I'm living doesn't line up with the Word of God. Do you know, dear ones, this is why that it is so important for you and I to build on a solid foundation. And I think about the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 28 and 16. He said, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a foundation, a stone. Just any stone? No, he said a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Dear ones, this is the rock that you need to build on tonight. This is the only thing that's going to withstand the storms of life that come your way is to be built on Christ. Paul told us over here in 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, He said, for other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Dear ones, this is the foundation that you need to build on. He is the tried stone. He is the precious cornerstone. He is the sure foundation. And dear ones, He was tried in every point. He was tempted and tried in every point that you and I will be. Young people, if you want to be able to stand through in the times of temptation, build on this foundation. Get Christ in your life. Get the Word of God hid in your heart. You'll be able to do just what Christ did if you'll follow His example. If you'll take the Word of God and make that the governing force in your life, every time the temptations came to Christ, He said, it's written. He based everything on the Word of God. And dear ones, if you and I will base our experience and our lives on the Word of God, we'll be able, when the enemy comes in and say, it is written, I'm not going to do that. And you'll be able to stand true because of this foundation. Dear ones, he was persecuted. He was afflicted. But he held true through every bit of that. If you want to be able to be true, if you want to be able to stand fast in the midst of those times, I'm going to tell you, dear ones, you need to build on this foundation. Oh, I think about how that Christ, he bore the weight of the sins of the whole world. But dear ones, this foundation didn't crack. And my burden this evening, dear ones, is that you recognize this is what it takes to be able to stand true. Christ provided this foundation. But dear ones, it's our responsibility to make the connection with Christ. He's not going to come along and hog tie you to this. We're going to have to make that connection. And young people, I want you to get a hold of something tonight. The strength of your connection to this foundation is going to be determined by the depths of love that you have for God. Love is the only thing that's going to bind you to this foundation. Doctrines won't. Traditions won't. You say, Brother Curtis, those things are important. They are vitally important. But dear ones, if you do not love God with all your heart, you're not going to keep those. Your profession, even your religious affiliation, where you go to church, those are not going to do it. You can come right here and sit in the congregation at Monarch. You can sit in any congregation of the Church of God. But dear ones, if you do not love God with all your heart, that's not going to be enough to bind you to this foundation. Do you know that even your faith is not enough to bind you to this? Faith works by love. And dear ones, if you do not love God with all of your heart, your faith is not going to hold when that tsunami hits you. You're going to find yourself shaken loose from that. How does this happen? This is the other part of my burden tonight, is that we recognize how it happens. Jesus said in John 10:10, He said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Dear ones, a thief is someone that takes and works. He steals silently and stealthily because he does not want you to realize what is happening. Do you know, dear ones, I am very concerned tonight about the things the enemy is silently and stealthily working on in people's lives. He may have our attention over here looking at something that's happening and looking at all the evil that's going on and thinking, oh, I'm so glad I'm not down there in that low place. And all the time he's working over here silently and stealthily, trying to cut off your way of escape, trying to weaken your love for God, your connection to this foundation, so that when he comes in, he can wipe you away, just like the tsunami did to all of those people. And dear ones, I believe that the Lord wants you and I to get a hold of the things that the enemy is doing and how he is trying to work. I told the folks at home, I reminded them about a building in Florida. Some of those that live in Florida probably well remember this. A little over a year ago, it collapsed. And this building, it was a apartment or condominium type building. And there was 55 units that collapsed from within. And I think it was like 98 souls went out into eternity. Now, dear ones, when you look at that, that's a terrible tragedy. But you know, dear ones, when I thought about that, when this building collapsed and all those people went down, there was no time for them to get ready. It said that When that building collapsed, from the time that it started to the time that it stopped, it was 14 seconds. And most of the people were asleep because it was at 2 o'clock in the morning. Do you know, dear ones, I believe it's a terrible tragedy. And it happens. These things happen. But I believe the Lord wants us to get something from this, because it exposes also how the enemy works. One of the things that happened with that building, one of the things that they were investigating, and I don't know if it's ever been resolved, was they said that a structural engineer had went in there a year before, and he looked at the building, and he said that there he found two areas where the waterproofing that was on, supposed to be on those buildings there along the coast, it was missing in two areas. And I want to read you what he said, because I wrote it down. He said, which has allowed the punishing Atlantic Ocean rainwater and the salty sea spray to seep in for decades, slowly weakening the steel and the concrete. That's one of the things that they looked at. Another thing that they looked at was there was a building next door that they built a brand new building next door. And the owners of this building that collapsed said, it's their fault that our building collapsed. Yes, we had a structural problem, but all of the driving the pilings in and all the things that happened, it was just too much for a weakened building, and it's their fault. They also said, another thing that happened is when they built that building, the way the road between them was, it caused the water to come down to their building, and they felt like it eroded around the foundation. One of the ladies that was lost in this collapse was talking to her husband around 2 o'clock in the morning, and she was looking out the window as she was talking to him, and she told him, she said, the ground around the pool just disappeared. It just sunk out of sight. And then that was the last he heard, and she went down with the rest of them. I say this, dear ones, to say this. God wants you and I to learn from things that happen like this. And I think about what happened here. You know, dear ones, the devil would like to work in our lives just like he did that. I mentioned how that the owners of that building blamed it on this other building and said it's their fault. It's because of what they were doing that caused our building to collapse. Do you know, dear ones, the devil is doing the same thing? He will try to take and cause other people to do things that will affect you. We heard tonight about Victory, how that things had affected her and how she finally got victory over it. You know, I'm reminded of what the Lord said. He said, it's impossible, but that offense has come. Do you know the reason so many of the messages in this meeting has been about hurts and getting healing and all of that is because of this very thing. Dear ones, what the devil is doing is he's going around and he's watching every one of us. He's going up and down through this aisle right here tonight looking for something in your life that he can work on. And if he finds a place of weakness, dear ones, he'll find someone that he can use to attack that. And you can say it's their fault. Do you know, dear ones, it don't even have to be hurts. Temptations. Young men, you can say it's her fault. Or young ladies, it's his fault. The way they dress. I just couldn't resist. Do you know what they said, though? The reason that these punishing rainwaters and the salt sea spray was getting in was because there was waterproofing membrane that was missing. Dear ones, if you do not have the grace of God, if you are not filled with the Spirit of God in your life, I'm going to tell you the enemy is going to take and he's going to attack you. One of the things that they said was that corrosive environment, it just attacked that thing. Dear ones, I'm going to tell you, we're living in a time that is very corrosive. The enemy has created things in our society. It doesn't matter where you're at, what you're doing, you're going to be bombarded by evil. And the reason is the devil wants our society to be so corrosive that he's constantly looking for a way to get it in. You pick up your cell phone and there's going to be something pop up. The devil's looking for avenues to get into your heart and life. He wants to attack your faith. He wants to attack your love for God. He wants to do anything he can to begin to work. And he does this silently and stealthily. He begins to work. And dear ones, these are the things that the enemy wants to do. He's trying his best to destroy you and I. Jesus described it this way in Luke 21 and 34. He said, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and that day come upon you unawares. It says, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the earth. You know, dear ones, Jesus recognized the dangers that you and I face. He recognized that we can do just like the people in that building did. Go about living life. They were working. They were doing things just like normal. Went to bed that night. Had no idea the danger that was about to strike them. Just like the man that I mentioned there in the lighthouse. Had no idea what was about to hit. And when it happened, it was so quick that not a one of them was able to escape it. Dear ones, I know the devil would like to tell us, you know, you've been saved for a long time. That building was standing there for 40 years, and no doubt people took refuge in that. It's faced these things, and it's going to continue to stand. But I'm going to tell you, there came a day when the overflowing scourge hit that building, and they went out. Even if they had been awake, many of them were asleep. Many people have been lulled to sleep spiritually in our world today, and they have no idea what the devil is doing. But you know, even if they'd been awake, 14 seconds, they said. I want to ask you, could you pray through in 14 seconds? I remember the thief on the cross, but I'm going to tell you, I watch these altars, and it takes a whole lot more than 14 seconds many times. Why? Because the devil works to erode our faith. It's hard to even pray through. Dear ones, this is what the devil is trying to do. And he wants to destroy every one of us. I think about, dear ones, let me get another scripture here. There's a scripture down here in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, the 13th verse. It says, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Dear ones, you and I are going to be tried. And we're going to face some things in our life. Every one of us will have an overflowing scourge in our life that is designed to wipe you off of your feet and destroy you. Whether it's hurts, whether it's temptations, whether it's just the cares of life, something the devil has to destroy you. And dear ones, we're going to have something to be able to stand against that. We're going to have a strong faith in God. And I'm not talking about something emotional. I'm not talking about something that you just build up and I'm going to do it. You can't do it. I'm talking about a faith that works by love. Because that love, dear ones, is going to cause you in those times of trial to do what Christ did. Even when he didn't feel the love back, he continued to love. And dear ones, you're going to have that kind of love. You're going to have that kind of an experience. You're going to have an experience that goes deep into the rock. Because if you don't, you're going to be swept away. You've heard about all of the floods out in Yellowstone. Perhaps most of you have seen the videos of that river running down through there and how it undercut the banks. And you probably saw those big old houses that have been built there for a long time. And as I watched that, the water was running. You could see people there watching and filming. And all of a sudden, this big building that just looked like had been there, I don't know how long, it just started listing. And the next thing you know, it went right off into the river and floated down the river. Looked like a big houseboat. But the problem was, it wasn't a boat. It wasn't designed to withstand that. And it began to sink as it took water on, and the next thing you knew, it broke apart and was destroyed. Dear ones, this is why we have to have more than a shallow experience. The reason those houses went away was because it undercut that building and the foundation didn't go down to the bedrock. And so when it didn't, and that undercut the foundation, that building had nothing to do to stand, and so it was carried away. Dear ones, if you've got your confidence in some of these little bridges, some of these little hills, if you feel secure in your spiritual walk with the Lord, but you don't have a deep experience with God, you don't have convictions that go deep into the rock, when that overflowing scourge comes your way, it's going to swipe you away. Dear ones, my burden tonight is that not happened to us. I believe, dear ones, God is permitting these things that are happening. You say, well, why is all this happening? And I've heard it over and over. What's going on? Why are all these things happening? I believe the Lord is wanting to awaken souls. But He wants us to understand that as we see these things, the devil uses some of the same tactics that you're seeing. I think about some of these things that are happening. And my nephew works for a company and he's in safety. And so he was sent back east to a big building. They had something like this, maybe even a lot larger. Had these big steel columns just like this. And this building had been there. It's a big, big manufacturing facility. And they were doing some remodeling and expanding of the building. And when they did, they uncovered the columns off of the building in all of that remodel. And when they uncovered it, they discovered something that had happened. That building there on the coast, and so when the hurricanes come, it comes in and it floods and that water comes into the buildings and they have to clean it up, and they'd done that. But what they didn't realize was behind the covers on these columns, this salt water that was coming in had silently and steadily attacked those steel members until it had rusted them completely in two. And this huge building that was sitting there was just sitting on the foundation. It was not anchored. Fortunately for them, they found it as they were doing their remodel and their expansion. It could have been like the building in Kentucky when a big storm wind came and could have collapsed and killed many people. But it didn't. Dear ones, I tell you about this because I want you to realize that's what the devil does as well. He works silently and stealthily in our lives. They knew the storm had come, the hurricane. They knew the building had flooded. And they cleaned it up until from every observation, it looked like everything was fine. But they had no idea what was happening over here under the cover. Dear ones, the devil works that way in your life and mine. He is silently and stealthily working. And I want to ask you this evening, have you had some storms in your life? Have you had some floods come through and you think, well, I survived that and I cleaned all that up and I've taken care of all these things and I'm doing good. And you feel comfortable? I wonder, dear ones, what is happening undercover? Do you know the enemy, when he comes into your life and he brings trials and tests and persecutions and afflictions and he brings all the things that happens in your life, hurts and disappointments, do you know his reason for that? Yes, it shakes us at the time, and we may get victory over that, but his intent is, while he may allow you to feel like everything's okay and I've taken care of this, he loves nothing more than to cause a little bit of residue to stay on that foundation, to begin to work undercover, and you really don't even realize. Do you know, dear ones, it happens with children from a young age. The devil will cause something to happen that will follow them all through their life, silently, stealthily, working, until finally he sends something along. And his intent is he'll let you stand on the foundation. He'll let you come to church. He'll let you take and even have a testimony while he's working with these things in your life. His intent is, when he gets it all to the right point that he wants and all these connections are there and there's no time for you, when that storm comes and it swaps you away, there's no time for you to say, Lord, have mercy. You see, dear ones, these are some of the things that are happening in our nation today, and there's valuable lessons for us, spiritual lessons for us to get a hold of. And my burden this evening is, I don't want to see a single soul being swept away. I don't want to see the enemy getting by with allowing a little residue to begin to fester. You know what the scripture said in one place? He said, talking about Esau, a little root of bitterness springing up and many be defiled. The enemy is not content just to destroy you. He's going to work in your life until he can destroy your family, your children, and as many as he can. Dear ones, the Lord wants to reveal to us the tactics that the enemy is using. He does not want us to go through life and then be swept out into eternity with no hope and no way of escape. I believe that the Lord is doing everything he can in our nation today to awaken souls. And as I see these things happening, and I said the Lord spoke to me the other night and let me know that's your job. You know, I could see from that picture what was happening to that man, even though he couldn't. You know, I'm seeing some of these things that the Lord's showing me. This is what's happening in our nation, and here's some of the parallels that's happening in people's lives. And so he's saying, you need to let people know, because the devil is out to destroy them. Dear ones, there's not a soul here, or anywhere for that matter, that I want to see go out into eternity be lost. There's not a single one that I want to see overwhelmed by something that they had no idea what struck them. And so the message from the Lord this evening is, be aware, be alert, take note. You know, the reason they discovered the little residue and what it was doing on those steel structures was because they were growing and expanding and remodeling. Do you know the reason the Lord is constantly wanting you and I to grow in the Lord is because it's going to reveal some things in our lives. If you get to a place, dear ones, where you become slack in your spiritual walk with God, you may not even realize what is happening. They didn't for however many years that had happened. Those people in that building, there were things that was getting in and they had no idea for years. Dear ones, if you and I are not constantly taking account of our spiritual walk with God, if we're not growing spiritually, if we're not beginning to do things that the Lord wants us to do, we're going to find ourselves being swept away. You know, some of the first signs that happens that there's a problem is when I get to a place where, you know, I just don't feel like I'm going to have worship tonight. I'll do it tomorrow. You know, it's a sign, it's a red flag, the enemy's trying to work here. I get to where I don't really think I'm going to go to church. It's just not as necessary as I once felt. Do you see, those are little red flags of something that's happening. And if we ignore those things and we fail to begin to get down and eat, Lord, why am I feeling this way? Do you know what happens? Those things begin to grow. And as that little rust begins to continue to work, it begins to crop into bad attitudes, envy and jealousy and hatred and bitterness and unforgiveness. You see, those things just keep growing. And then eventually the enemy comes in and he'll swipe us away. I don't want that to happen. My burden tonight, dear ones, is as I see the man standing there in front of that lighthouse and I see what's about to happen, I see that happening in souls today. I look around and I see, and I have loved ones like you do, and I see people right among us, and I see the inroads that the enemy has made into their lives. Some have rejected God, they've gotten bitter, and they've just turned their back on God. Some are still clinging to a little refuge, something that they've got. But as I'm watching and I'm seeing what's coming, and I'm seeing what the Lord is showing me, this is what's going to happen, it breaks my heart. But it's not just my heart, dear ones, it's the heart of God. And so I believe the message that the Lord is sending to you tonight is, one, if you're in that condition, that somehow you'll recognize what the enemy has worked in your life. But two, if you're not, that you'll begin to seriously begin to explore in your spiritual walk with the Lord and ask the Lord, Lord, help me to grow that you can reveal if there's a little residue there that's working. Because I do not want it to get to the point to where when my tsunami comes, I'm carried away. That's my hope and my prayer tonight. And so, dear ones, I plead with you. Don't allow the raging ocean to drown out the warnings that are coming. That man was standing there, and because he was fascinated with what he was seeing and all the noise, he never recognized what was coming. My burden tonight is that that not happen to you, that you see clearly what the enemy is doing, and that you can be able to make heaven your home, because that's what I want to do. And I hope that everyone here can do the same. I appreciate your attention tonight.